And this morning, it was very strong. I kept hearing about the prodigal son. And the first thing that came at 7 was, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And while I was up at 3 a.m., I saw the prodigal son was lavished after he had squandered all his money on all the lusts and pleasures of the world. And he understood how much his father loved him, even when he was in the slave position. And the slaves on the farm were better fed than he was. Then he compared himself with them, and he saw, and he knew that he could return home. He had no expectations of the full restoration, but he was restored. Even the signet ring was put on his finger. And his father had considered him dead. So we're going to go to the parable of the lost son in Luke 15, verse 11. I'm using the NIV. But I want you to know that what he was speaking into my heart was more powerful than the word, because it was personal to awaken in me. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what decision those that I influence make. My responsibility is for number one. The neighbors, the family, everybody has a right to make their choice. And if God can respect it, who are we to reject their decision? Or try to conform them to what we believe. So this afternoon, while I was listening to Kelly Varner, he made a comment about the young man who had died, and he was the only son. And I don't go to the scripture because it's going to take too long, because this is really where we're supposed to go. But the highlight was that he pointed out that the son didn't stay dead with Jesus around. Then he went into 2 Kings, and it was the same scenario. That this lady that he stayed at was very wealthy, very well-to-do. She had never children. She was also very old. She also had no children. But the prophet of the Lord told her she would have a child in that season the following year. And she was angry with him because she didn't want to have her hopes set up for a failure. Do you see the prophet getting bent out of shape? Do you see God getting bent out of shape? But the woman was a woman of faith. Even when the child died with a head problem, the child was restored, came back to life. And there's a message there that the Lord was trying to make me aware. Everyone is going to make bad decisions at some point. And we need to give them a hunger for the one who has the ability to change them, because we cannot. And if we try to do it, we're going to do like my sister here. You're going to hear your words, and then you're going to say, oh my God, I sound like the law. And the law kills instead of bringing any life. So I want you to see the Lord's response. Verse 11. There was a man who had two sons. Notice it's two. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, more than anything else, when those who come to their own senses, instead of you dictating, like I used to do, "Get your act together. God's watching. This is wrong." That's how I was brought up. Maybe not quite to that severe word, but with that same attitude. And I knew how I felt when those words were spoken to me. It crushed something within me, because my freedom was taken from me. And if God, the Father, can say to his son, "Here's the money you need to go squander," who are you to tell him no? Who am I to say no? So you see, that son is going to die, because the whole church was married to the law, and it brought death. But the new son, the one that resurrected, what does he say to those who fall apart or make bad judgments?
"Come on back.
Welcome home." Okay? "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?'" Now, how did he come to his senses? Because he had to starve first. How many of you people know someone that needs to go on a starving diet before they realize they're on the wrong path? Thank you. You need to let them go and give thanks. Verse 18, "I will set out and go back to my father to say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" Did he come to his senses just because of the food? His entire life was before him. His choices were visible now. He could see for the first time. He had eyes and ears to hear and see. Verse 19, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son." So now the humility comes. "Make me like one of your hired men." So he doesn't come back claiming his position. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, I love this part, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Are you ready to love those that are willing to come back at some point? Are you ready to set them free and walk and give them a helping hand and give them a kiss? I'll tell you, there are some that you might say, "Oh, yes," but wait till it happens.
Amen.
And see how much of that old judgment and all critical legalism is inside of you. And it's called the religious spirit. That book has got some roots in us. And it shows us who we are and where we've been and what we've got to come out of and what we need to let die. Otherwise, we're damaging people. And we're damaging ourselves. Because when you judge and condemn, it falls back on Matthew 7, Romans 2, For the very same thing that you judge others about, you are guilty of. Romans 2 verse 1, amplified. It's awesome to see. And yet we still do it. And if you want to test yourself, and if you're a pretty good driver, go down the highway for about an hour and tell me how much you still judge and condemn. And you're going to see yourself. You're going to see the soul. You're going to see the mind, will, and emotions. And then you're also going to see the Holy Ghost. Pray for that one, please. Oh, I don't feel like it. They don't deserve it. Guilty? All right. Are you ready? 24. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. Verse 21, sorry. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. 22. But the father said to his servant, Quick, bring the robe, or the best robe. I love this part. The best robe, not just any robe. And put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. All so far going well. Until. Verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, What was going on? Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. Well, let's see how your religious reactions would be. The older brother became angry, and refused to go in. I am not going to put up with that brother. I can't stand him. He just wasted dad's money, and I could have had half of that. Now I'm going to have to share my half. Oh, can't you? Come on, your brains don't work that way. Something wrong with you guys. The older brother began angry and refused to go in. So his father went out. Look at again the father's reaching. And pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I've been slaving. For... You and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not my brother, who has squandered your property, with a prostitute, male or female, check it out. They're all prostitutes. Comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. I love 31. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. That's the story of the church.
Amen.
The Son, S-O-N, Jesus, is not known like you and I maybe know him in most of the church. They use him like a Santa Claus, and they use the Father like a Santa Claus. And if they don't get what they want, they have a little bit of a fit. Okay? It's called Christian witchcraft. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, I can quote Rick Joyner. When Rick Joyner had to have an open door to reopen PTL under a different name, the Holy Spirit sent his whole church on that property, and guess what the first spirit that they pulled down was? Christian witchcraft. It's all about me and what I can get out of God. And if I can't get it, then he is not worth serving. That's the attitude. It's not maybe up front, but it's the inner heart that counts. So when you go to Papa and he doesn't give you something, whatever that happened to be, it's because he's got a better plan. It's because he's got something that he's going to give you that will be making you more of an adult in God and in Christ than you've ever been before. Because if he spoiled you consistently, you might end up in the wrong path. So there are times the answer is no. He won't give you what you've asked for. But no is a hard pill to swallow.
Amen.
Okay? We're being used to, you know, can I have it, God? Please, 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 please. If I say it enough times with enough sadness in my voice, then maybe I'll get it. But I don't want to be that older son. The older brother was really very, very much in his soul. And he was justified in his thinking and in his mind. Do we need a new mindset? Do we need a new attitude about those that we care about and that we guide into their freedom? Our job before God and before man and before the people of God that are making bad choices, give them that scripture. Let them search it out for themselves. Don't be afraid to say, if you want to make a mistake, I'll respect you. If God will respect you, why can't I? Do I get an amen?
Amen.
You got to let them go. Okay? Now, if you are being affected by their choice, you can ask them to respect you. But that's as far as it goes. If God can give away half of his bank account for somebody who wants to squander all of it, that's their business. And a few years ago, there was somebody that was in my life that had made some horrible choices. And I kept saying to the Lord, you know, I'd love to be able to take a few moments and straighten them out.
Amen.
And he said, why do you think I don't have them in your church? Yeah. Mary Jo, you and I are related. But the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit said, didn't I give you freedom?
Amen.
Why don't you try giving the same? Oh, well, they could have made this choice and they could have made that choice, but they didn't. Did they feel justified in what they did? Absolutely. Were they doing it all right? Absolutely not. But my choice was to set them free. My choice was to intercede in the spirit because my brain would get in the way. How many of you have somebody you'd like to straighten out? Then close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to choose to give that person to you. Or people to you. Because there might be a few.
We'd like to readjust.
But it's not our job.
You gave us freedom
as an example.
I'm giving them freedom
as an example. I will let them make the wrong decision. Maybe squander quite a few bucks.
Maybe
a large amount.
It's not important.
It's what God will teach them through the process.
It's what God will teach them.
And I'll keep interceding
until they see clearly.
And keep opening my eyes
so that I can still see.
Amen?
Amen.
How many felt there was a churning going on as we were praying that? You know why? Because you're releasing control. That's what it is. And you're doing it by choice. And you're going to keep doing it until the fullness of Christ is manifest in us. Because the manifestation of the sons of God is that they will act and react like Papa. And you've got a good picture of Papa there.